Blog Talk Radio.
Where I'm at.
93?
Pretty hot.
72 here.
72?
72 here. Uh-huh.
Good grief. The cold spell.
I know, huh?
Yeah. What about you, Sister Denise, up there in the
about
Arctic?
80.
80 at pole?
Yep.
All right.
I'm sorry, that's 79. It's 79 right now. 79. That's what it is.
Ooh.
79. It's still a nice feeling. It feels good. Better than 114.
It's 108 here.
It's much better than that.
108.
Ooh. Hot.
And it feels nice. Like 115.
Ugh.
Not in it earlier. All right, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. Going on, we do have enough of quorum, so we'll go ahead and have a meeting today. And I'll do an update. For the matter, ladies, to cover their head. Any man listening, uncover your head. And I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second. I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order. We will do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and we'll start. I did some corrections to the minutes, Sister Mary, and they are going to be up on the whiteboard in the room.
Okay.
So you can just read them from there. Holy hands raised to the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us to the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today and we glorify you. And we lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify your name and we extol thee, Father. We lift thee up high above the heavens, for that is where you are, Father, and that is where you sit. And we just want to adore you on today from where you are, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Our scripture for today, Psalms 133, the book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. And while my machine catches up, we got too much stuff going on here. All right, Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Most High reads, a song of the degree of David. How good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Be the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of His word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we will have go ahead and have the reading of the minutes from last meeting. Sister Mary, you have the call.
Our last meeting was June 29th, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and we ended at 9:07 p.m. The attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, and Sister Rachel. The discussion of the meeting, the microgreens. Last Friday, microgreens were sold, not in powder form. Friday's market will end in July and start again in August. The USDA. Uh-oh, we forgot the wild end of her name.
Yeah.
Taylor will meet with Brother Miles on the 6th to talk about another funding program. Brother Miles still don't have a tracking number for the program he applied. Hopefully, you'll hear something in July. The microgreens rope is a little slow because of the heat, but Miles is changing the ways of growing the microgreens. The market on Wednesday will be once a month. Brother Miles is updating the website for the microgreens. The bylaws. We started on section 12.01, and this section was rewritten, and we have to vote on this. We had to read section 12.1 to 12.16 to be discussed at the next meeting. That's it, Brother Brown.
All right. So, did anybody read sections 12.1 through 16?
I read it, but I didn't read 16. I was sleepy.
You were sleepy.
I was.
Who authorized that?
Well, I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
I was sleeping. This computer makes my eyes tired.
That is a real thing.
Huh?
I said that is a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you read them, Sister Denise?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you two sisters for being faithful. What about you, Sister Miles? Did you read them? Hello.
Is Sister Rachel online?
She is not right now.
Okay. I gotta get my glasses.
Huh?
I thought I gotta get my glasses.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
All right, I started reading it and I didn't get done with it. So I'll go ahead and give an update on where we're at with certain things.
I'm sorry, did I read what now?
Did you read section 12.01 through 16?
I started, but you know what happened. I had to focus on something else.
Okay.
But yeah, I started reading it.
Okay, so I didn't get that far into it. I started rewriting and rearranging stuff, so let me share this document on my screen. The order that we had stuff in was just crazy because we had inserted the stuff about the young people.
Right.
But it wasn't congruent. It wasn't flowing the way that it should. So let's see. 29. Okay. So. So we're going to do some changes. Let me save this today.
good.
Okay, and then let me share my screen. Find the room again. All right, let me share my screen here. You in the room will pull up the screen. And let me know if you have the document.
Yes.
And let me shrink this a little bit. Sorry. All right, do you have it, Sister Denise?
I'm not, yeah. I was just coming back from getting my glasses.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I have it.
Okay. All right, so this originally, if I go back down through this document, see where we have paragraph A here, up under 5?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, A here, and I actually need to move this over just a little bit like that. Okay. All right, that used to be the start of 12.01.
Right.
Okay, I moved it down below the young people so that all the stuff about the young people was just together.
Okay.
Because we had part of it, we had, you know, we had the statement in there, a member must, oh, you know what, before we move on, anybody have anything to add to the minutes that Mary read? Nobody? Okay. Did I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read by Sister Mary? Do I have a second?
I second. I second.
Okay. Do we have all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are adopted as read by Sister Mary. We will correct Kayla's name in it. That's just an administrative correction. We can do that without having to re-vote. Okay. So what I did was move this so that we didn't. We had a member must have a contract guarantor, grant, you know, guarantor, and then we went into the stuff about the, you know, young adults. When they could join. Totally out of place. Okay. And so I moved that paragraph, started that paragraph down up under paragraph 5. And it's going to be starting there as a member must have a contract guarantor, because that's where I ended up at with the young people saying in paragraph 5, a young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantor. Okay, so when they first start, if they're less than 20 years old, then their parents are going to have to guarantee them. If they're 20 years old and older, then they can guarantee themselves, and then they must, you know, meet whatever those are. So let's read this again and see if it makes sense to us, if it still makes sense from what we wrote before. Section 12.01, contract guarantors. Young adults that grow up in the community having 4 or more years experience in the community are eligible for their own quarters, slash pods, at the age of 20 and must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. A family that joins with children or young adults less than 20 years old are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community and ensure they participate in the community activities that contribute to the good of the community. Young adults must demonstrate that they are financially responsible, willing, and capable of contributing to the community, both monetarily socially and fully understand the culture of the community as far as its philosophies and doctrines. If a young adult is not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a contract guarantor. A young adult that is less than 20 years old must have a contract guarantor. So we're just saying, and I might change that, you might need to change that. Let's change it from young, well, I want to leave this young adult here because that's who we're talking about. So do we need to put in here the age if the age here, if a young adult 20 years or older, 20 years to, do we want to put in here? If we're letting them get it, if we're saying that they're accountable at 20, so we can just say, if a young adult 20 years and older is not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a contract guarantor. So,
okay.
What age do we cut that off at, though? I don't think we need to cut it off.
Maybe 25.
Okay. Sister Mary says 25. What do you think, Sister Denise?
I don't know right now. I think it don't need to have just say it's and older. That says it all, doesn't it?
I don't know at what point. We can just say.
What would you say, like from the age 20 to 25?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to see if we even need that or we just need to reword this. Because if they're 20 years old, they're supposed to be able to have a place on their own.
Right.
So. But if they're not a, we're saying that if they're less than 20, they must have a contract guarantor, okay?
Right.
So I don't know that we have to put an age on this because they are actually qualifying. We could probably get rid of four. They would just fall in with the rest of the group because it really is anybody that's not able to demonstrate financial responsibility has to have a contract guarantor.
Right.
Does that make sense to you, Sister Mary?
Yeah,
it does. But I just said 25 because at 25 years of age, at that point of your life, you should be a little financially responsible.
Yeah, I would say so too, but we're allowing them to get a place on their own at 20. So if they're less, once they're 20, they fall into the adult category.
Right.
And so it's not necessary that, I don't think it's necessary that we even stipulate that. Because they're just going to fall into the adult. And,
well, then why would you put an older in there? How old do they have to be?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about taking that whole sentence out. Because it doesn't matter if at 20 they just fall into the adult.
Right.
So we don't even really need that. But if they're less than 20, then we're saying they need a contract guarantee. And
number three says that if a young adult is financially able, responsible, they're willing to get a place. So why would you need that number four?
We really don't need it, in my opinion, now, because number five would become number four. And number four, really, they just fall up under the adult.
Right.
And Sister Mary, you got quiet.
Excuse me, I agree.
Okay, so we're just going to delete four and change five to four, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so that, you know, any, because when we get down here and we start actually talking about in this A right here, then the young adults who are 20 years old and older, they are considered adults at that point. And so they would just fall in with the regular adult.
Right.
Okay. Okay, Sister Miles, I see your hand. You're unmuted.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. My call dropped when I got to the hospital. I had to connect to the Wi-Fi. So I didn't know what you was asking.
Okay, we were talking about requiring young people that are and if they get a place, let's say they're 18, their family say they can move out or whatever. Then if they get a place, they have to have a guarantor. If they're less than 20, if they're 20 years old and older, then they fall in with the adults anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So. Get back here, and if you'll mute yourself on your end, when you're not talking.
I'll mute you now.
Okay. So, any questions on that with that change?
Having.
Okay, and Sister Denise, if you are talking, you can't be heard. Look like you were.
No, I don't have any questions.
All right, and Sharon, you got any questions?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. All right, subparagraph A. A member must have a contract guarantor if the member in question has received three or more. Now, this is going to be, I think we need to change this to... So that makes it clear that this is who this applies to. All members 20 years and older must have a contract guarantor if the member in question has received three or more notices for non-payment of rent. Now, we don't really have rent, so we need to talk about this in the standpoint of whatever they have agreed to contribute.
Right.
So we might have to change this from rent to some other word, but we'll just read it as it is for right now and then come back and change it.
Okay.
All members 20 years and older must have a contract guarantor if the member in question has received three or more notices for non-payment within the previous 12 months. The member in question has a current guaranteed payment plan with YFCC, even if the payment plan expires before the new contract year begins. So I'm just going to read this because we have to decide whether we're going to have payment plans, how we're going to actually work this. A member who is required to have a contract guarantor must contract guarantor in place before the POD or YFCC can approve and sign their contract. Such guarantors must sign appropriate legal documentation whereby they guarantee YFCC the full performance and observance of all the agreements and conditions contained in the contract, including the punctual payment of all room charges, food, co-op payments, long-distance telephone charges, damages, and work compensation payments. Okay, now, let's talk about each one of these. We don't have room charges, and we don't have food co-op payments.
Uh-uh.
And with your cell phone, I'm thinking that we're not going to have a community phone. Because everybody,
right.
if they would have their own, what, cell phone?
Right.
Now, with that, though, we have to look at, because we're everybody's got all things in common, even though you can have your own number, I would think that the community would be responsible for the bill. So the community would also be saying, you know, you can't call. Let's say that we have a YFCC phone account and it has all these different numbers on it, like a company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when we get somebody new or a child grows up or whatever, we assign them a cell phone. And it's coming out of you know, the YFCC funding, because everybody has what? All things in common?
Right.
Then what we probably need to do here is also have limitations on where those cell phones can call. Like, you can't call overseas. Because calling within the states, most plans you call within the states or you call Canada, it is what? Free of charge?
Yeah.
It's long distance, but it's free of charge if you get the right plan. Okay. But any place like Mexico or anywhere else in the world would be considered long distance, whole another what? Rate.
Mm.
And it can become real expensive real quick. So we would probably say, you can call, you know, your cell phone has the ability to call within the continental U.S. And Canada, because that's usually where those plans come. So then if they are having to make calls, you know, we never know. We might have somebody join us from, what, Nigeria or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to be able to find out, how do we handle that? How are we going to handle that? Because that, you know, that really can become expensive. So let me look up something.
Or just let them know when they get their phone that the phone is only going to be used in state.
If we can do that, okay. So I'm just gonna show y'all a couple of examples. Let me change my screens, and this is just because we have to consider this, and if we make the conscious decision now, then, you know, we have to enforce it. Screen, I'm going to start sharing my screen again. And I'm sharing the screen now, so if you pull it down and pull it back up. The international long-distance call rate.
Yeah.
Okay, now this was in 2022, and this is just as an example. To Afghanistan is 49 cents a minute. In 2 minutes, you can, what, talk up a dollar?
Mm-hmm.
If you stay under 20 minutes, that's $10. If you stay 30 minutes, that's going to be $15, so forth and so on. Whereas if you call in the States, it's free. Huh?
call long distance, let them know that that long distance call is on them.
Yep, the only problem is they ain't gonna have no money.
Right.
Okay, well, see, then ain't no long distance call.
Yeah, well, we're gonna need to have to find a way to accommodate this. Because somebody could have an emergency, they need to call where? Home?
Mm-hmm.
And they could need to call.
Would they have like two long distance calls a month or something?
Yeah, I mean, we can handle this however we want to handle it, but we just need to talk about it.
Okay.
Whether we're going to, you know, for emergency, what it is, and then let's say that.
How long they can talk?
Yeah, we might, you know, we could probably say when they come in, okay, we could limit overseas long distance calls to there is a $20 or a $30 limit within a time frame, and whatever that time frame is going to be. And so if we give it to one person, we have to give it to who? Everyone? So, and everybody's not going to be falling over. You know, I don't think anybody that's stationed in the state would be calling overseas. I mean, that lives in the state. But if they're from that country, they may.
Right. Right.
And so, if we would have to include this in the budget. So let's say that we say, okay, local calls. Let's say that we limit them to $10 a month. That would be what, $120 a year?
Mm-hmm.
That means that we would have to budget $120 per however many members we have, so that everybody has the same ability to do that.
Right.
Say if the community is 10 members, whether they're going to use it or not, there would be a budget or a stipend for them to have $120 worth of overseas long distance a year. Everyone. And then it would have to be funded out of the what? Money?
Right.
And then if somebody wants to donate, let's say that I'm just going to play the devil's advocate here. Let's say that I'm from Nigeria, or I'm from somewhere in Africa, or somewhere in another country, and I got something going on, and I really need to talk to my people there. When you're on a job, people can donate what, their sick leave. Anybody ever been on a job like that? Yes, no, maybe so.
I haven't.
Yeah, my aunt is doing that now, getting people to donate their sick leave for her, her vacation time.
Yeah, so, and a lot of big companies, what they do is this. If somebody is falling short, let's say they don't have enough personal time or sick time, and they have an emergency that they have to take, and it's for, you know, humanitarian purposes or whatever, it's an emergency, then you got people in the company that can say, hey, I want to donate X amount of my sick time toward them. So they may not have but 5 hours for somebody to donate 40 hours for them. That person is losing, what, 40 hours? But it's going to that other person. So the company's not really, losing any money that it hasn't budgeted for.
Right.
It's just transferring it to another person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so let's say that I'm that person and I've used my $120 and I'm still not finished with taking care of business. And then I go to Sister Miles and say, hey, can you donate some of your hours to me? And she said, yeah, I'll donate 10 of my hours. Then it just comes off of her book, has already been budgeted for, comes off of her book and goes on to my book. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of that? And if we're talking, I can't hear y'all.
If we had all things in common, would it make a difference if they use the long system?
It as long as we're budgeting for it, okay. But we don't have unlimited funds.
Oh, okay.
So we don't want to get a $10,000 phone bill.
Right. No, we don't.
Okay. So I think we can, again, I'm just throwing numbers out here. I'm just throwing numbers out here so we can say each year, long distance, whether it's overseas or whether it is, state to state, which we shouldn't have any long, we shouldn't sign a contract with any phone company where long distance inside the U.S. we get charged for. Because there's no need for that. Okay. And, even if we had to do it by cell phone, and make sure we don't get any roaming charges or anything like that. But I'm thinking that if we set a limit that's allocated to everyone and the type of plan that, as long as we're calling within the plan is free, whatever charges we have, it's not going to be a long-distance charge, just a flat monthly rate, then everybody would have a credit on their account as far as long-distance charges. And it would then if somebody wanted to call overseas like that, there would be a way for them to do it. And it wouldn't be, and the community is already, budgeted for it?
Right.
Okay, and has the funds for it. Then if somebody gets into a dire situation where, they're needing more than the 120, somebody could donate some of their allocation to them, and they could still call. But it just, that person knows that, hey, they just gave up that many minutes or that many dollars or whatever, and they donated it to this other person. That way it's still funded. It still meets the need of the community. And we still have all things in common. Thoughts?
Yes. Question.
What's the question?
Okay. Will there be internet? Will it be like satellite
internet?
Out there.
Yeah, so we will have internet.
Will it be satellite?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
It could be satellite or it could be
call overseas. Normally when people call overseas, now they use WhatsApp to call the family members without using the phone because there's no cost.
Yeah, I mean, we could find and we could use WhatsApp, but
apps as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's phone apps out there that will do that. Most of them, the problem is if WhatsApp ever starts to charge, because a lot of places start off not charging and then we don't have any control over it. They can start charging at any time they want it. If they wanted to make money off.
So they have access to it without making money off of it? Well, before start making money, well, the allowed amount that you
have a designated for it, budget for it, that can be banked for that for the future if it happens. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, we can bank it, and if we ever start getting charged, but we just want to make sure we include it in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't get. Okay, somebody got a lot of noise on the back end. We just want
to
make sure
okay,
that.
I'm doing something with my grandma. So that's just
going. Okay, so we just want to make sure that we have something in the budget so that we don't get caught off guard. So if we budget for it, then it just, you know, if we don't ever get use it, then that money's what, always in that pot?
Right.
And then if we do get charged, you know, because I know about WhatsApp and people can do Zoom calls and there's other app, you know, internet apps that you can use to call overseas. But most cell companies, like if you do roaming, then they charge more. So they would have to do an internet call, but they may, you know, internet call may not be convenient. They may not be near a computer. So, you know, we still need to account for it that way. I don't want to say, oh, we can just do it for free. Now, if we were to ever set up or partner with or have a sister congregation like in Africa or something, then I can just put a server.
Satellite phone.
Yeah, well, satellite phone, but all those things cost money. But I'm just saying that we could put a server in that country, and as long as it's encrypted, then, you know, I already have the software and the technology that allows me to call anywhere in the world via the internet, and it's our own system. So the number that people call, the 480 number, that people call into to the show. We're paying for that right now, but if I wanted to dial overseas from that, I could. But I could actually put my own servers in place and just make it server to server, and it would all be over the internet, like WhatsApp. Anyway, I think that we should budget for it a certain amount. Whether the individual has to use, you know, be charged for it or not, whether if we can do it for free through some type of app like WhatsApp or Zoom or what have you, then they have that option. It doesn't cost anything. Great for us. But if it's ever where we have to pay, then I don't want it to be where, you know, we got to have some type of emergency fund. We can just budget for it, and everybody gets it. And then, you know, we're still keeping everything, what, equal, no real special circumstances. Everybody just has it, whether they use it or what, or not.
Nah.
So that's where I think that we should head with that. We'll just put it into the budget. We need to agree right now on... And it's policy, so future generations can change this. This is a policy thing.
Okay.
So we can say, you know, $100 a year or $100. If it's $10 a month, then we just say $120 a year for overseas calls. Everybody has that allocated to them. If we have to pay for it, then it comes out of that pot. And each person, you know, is, you know, of course, we're going to have somebody or some mechanism to keep track of who's using what.
Right.
But that's, you know, down the road. And then if somebody goes over their allocation, then they, you know, not have to justify that, you know, it actually is a real emergency and somebody would have to volunteer some of their time. Or we can say, okay, we got an emergency fund for this and... whatever the case may be. But we don't just, this is not like when people call into the 480 number, and sometimes if you call, like I think Sister Mary said, if you call the 516 number, they charge you 1 cent a minute.
They do.
Okay, so that used to be 100% free in the state, and I think when you change carriers, that's when it started.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably call Blog Talk and say, hey, I got people calling in and they're getting charged 1 cent a minute. Is there an alternative number for them to call in and reach this show? That's free. Because they probably do have a number like that, where that it won't be 1 cent a minute. But even on the 480 number, which I pay for, it costs 1 cent a minute. But that was just so that we could have an alternative for people who are dialing in from their house phone. And that's because most people got cell phones now. Most people don't have a house phone. And some of y'all might.
Suppose the household base for the long distance call?
Huh?
You saying have the house phone for long distance calls?
No, some people still have house phones. I have a cell phone, I have a business phone, I have a house phone. And that's just so that if one is down or out, then we can usually use the other. But for the most part, we just use our cell phones.
Right.
And, you know, for this particular, even though I could do this over my cell phone, this broadcast, the number that I used to call in from is from a business phone. It's a landline. And that's just so that it's more. Because mobile lines can be unstable.
Question. How do we allocate who use what minutes? Who use how much minutes they use? I mean, amount.
How do I allocate who use the what?
How do you know? How do you know who use up their amount? On the phone, how would they know? I mean, how would you know if I had used call overseas? How would you know I used how much I used of that amount, or is it?
Of which amount are you talking about?
Okay, you says you're allocating $120 a month, I mean a year, to use the phone that the company has to pay. Over calling overseas or in countries that you have to pay this call. How do you
well, they would have to be from their phone.
Oh,
they would have to be calling from their phone. Everybody's not going to have a shared phone.
Okay.
They would have their phone. They would be calling from their phone, and it would show up clearly on the bill.
Okay.
We don't have to do that accounting. We just have to look at it and say, okay, well, the accounting department would have to say, hey, you used 10 minutes this month or whatever. As long as they don't go over the allocation, it's not a problem. It's when they go over their allocation. But the accounting department would know that. Because you can get the bill broken out. So, yeah, the phone company would do that for us. Did that answer your question?
I didn't catch everything. I'm sorry. I didn't hear, so that's why I'm backtracking a little bit. Okay, I thought it was going to have something like a party line type of thing, like everybody's going to have their own cell phone instead.
We would have individual lines. Everybody get their own cell phone. It's just that the community's paying for it. And if they are calling overseas like that, then it will come out on their line. Does that make sense to you? So we would just open up a corporate account, and the corporation would get X amount of numbers, or YFCC get X amount of numbers based upon the members. And then when somebody is, eligible to get a cell phone or whatever, then they just get assigned a number and it's assigned to them. thing here is that everybody has all things in common. So one person can't have a cell phone, and then, you know, everybody else don't get one. That wouldn't make sense. That would cause contention real quick. Sister Denise, you tell me, how come I can't call? At the hospital, but and you know, I want to bring this up when she comes back. But we want to pray for Sister Hazel. She's in the hospital, and she may or may not make it. We just want to make sure that we include her in prayer. So let me unmute you. So did that make sense to you, what you caught? Sharon. Okay, if that didn't make sense to you, let me know.
Made sense. Made sense to me too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if it made sense to her, and she asked the question.
I'm sorry. Every time my call dropped, so I can go with it later. I didn't hear anything because my call had dropped. Okay.
Okay. The quick of it is, everybody will get their own cell number. It should be paid for by YFCC. The phone company would have to tell us which calls, you know, which phone number was making those calls. They would do easily anyway.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So, yeah, we'll have to let me pause my screen sharing and bring back up this other page. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't give an update today, did I?
No.
Sure didn't. Just all off track here. Okay, let's table this for a second. Let me do this update so Sister Mary can get her notes. You're going to get off easy, didn't you? All right. Update. Heat is still playing a factor in the growth of the microgreens. What I'm finding is that I'm really having to triple and sometimes quadruple water because of the heat. And still, I think out in the room right now, even though I got the AC set at 61, inside the room is at 91. And so the AC is trying to keep that heat down because outside is over 100. 109 right now. It's been up as high as 114. And so I think once it gets over a certain temperature, some of these seeds just don't germinate.
Okay. And so because of the heat, you have to water them 3 times as much?
Yeah, 3 and 4 times. But I'm thinking like the salad mix, which has red cabbage in it and broccoli and kohlrabi and one other one in it. The only thing that seems to be germinating out of it is the broccoli. All the other seeds aren't germinating at this temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would probably do is suspend planting salad mix until it cools down. It's just out of season. It's too hot, and I can't keep the room cool enough for it to germinate.
Okay.
So the red cabbage, see how it does this week. If it, because it's part of that salad mix, I do grow it by itself as well. If it does not germinate, this week with the way I'm doing it, then the salad mix I know I'm going to suspend. I won't try to take it to market after this week. The red cabbage, if it doesn't germinate, I won't take it to market. The radishes are doing good. Broccoli, they're germinating, and I think I just have to give them a little bit more time, but also increase the watering on them. But don't overwater them, because if they're overwatered, they create root rot. And so they just don't last. But they drink more water. So it's a fine balance. It, you know, I can't really slack up and not pay attention one day. Because they either fall down or they die. They dry up real quick in this heat. So I've been watering them three times.
Going to hold
now.
Off on the salad mix and what else?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to check. You know, I'm going to pay attention to the crop this week.
Uh-huh.
I know the salad mix was not fully germinating. I got seeds that were in the bottom of the tray that just didn't germinate. They didn't even try to germinate. So, and the only thing that's changed is the heat. So, and you know, and a lot of these plants, you know, they have a certain temperature at which they will germinate and won't germinate.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I'm trying to keep the room cool, for some of these, like I said, the salad mix, what I'm seeing is a lot of the seeds in the salad mix aren't germinating. They're not even trying to, you know, grow at all. Which tells me that the only thing that has really changed is the temperature, so it's too hot. Even with the AC, it's too hot. So I went out there to check, you know, to check the temperature before I came into this meeting. And in that room, it's 109 outside. In that room, within that room, the temperature is 91, almost 92 degrees. Most of those plants won't germinate. Or some of them won't germinate above 85 or something like that. So those plants that won't germinate, then we will just take them off the list until the fall. And I just won't try to grow them or try to take them to market. I won't advertise them. You know, I'll just say, hey, I'll just put a sign on the website, out of seed. Because even with under the AC, that room, once the sun hits that side of the house, it just, the AC is doing the best that it can. And I have two of them in that room. So imagine if I only had one. If it was 108 degrees outside, it was 108 degrees in that room, even hotter. Right now it's keeping it below 100, but that's still too hot for some things. Now, sunflower seems to be doing well. The radish seem to be doing well. The broccoli seem to be doing well. After we get off of this call, I will go out and recheck everything because I'm having to check 2 and 3, 4 times a day now. Then I will go and check the, I started some fenugreek. I let it sprout, and then I put it into the tray, see if it would grow better that way. I think I've tried it before. I think they tried to grow along the bottom of the, you know, of the tray. But I think that I didn't have enough weight on it or didn't keep the weight on them long enough for them to try to grow toward the water, which is through the spring. So I will, because it is a stream and it's not dirt, then it's easier for the water to evaporate. And so the plants can become dried out quicker, which means that I have to water more often with whatever I'm trying to grow. And I didn't make that note last year, and maybe I hadn't figured it out last year. I figured out how to get rid of the fungus, but didn't really figure out the watering totally. So I'm seeing that I'm going to have to water 2 and 3 and 4 times a day. because the plant, but not over water. That's the whole key. Can't over water. You got to give them enough water where they can get a drink and stay up. But if you over water, then the roots rot out. Because they got to be able to breathe. So sunflower, I'm looking at the sweet pea right now. I have two trays of that. They did well last week and the week before, but it's now just consistently over 100 degrees. They seem to be doing okay, but I've been making sure that I watered them at least three times now a day. Sunflowers the same way. The broccoli did well. The radish did well. I just did some fenugreek last night, so I will check on it this evening. I watered it this morning. I'll go out after this meeting and check it again and rewater it, try to make sure that it stays moist. The wheatgrass did not do good in the heat at all. It's above its temperature, so what I did was I placed it closer to the AC and so I keep a towel on top of them. Last ones, I didn't keep a towel on top of them, which is recommended, but I didn't do it. I tried something different and just wasted seed. So I will keep a moist towel on top of them until they, you know, push the towel up out of the tray, and then still have to water them at least 3 times a day, at least. So that, you know, there are 4 markets left in July after this one, or this one is, there's only 3 after this one tomorrow. Then there's one the second Wednesday of the month. Because of the traffic, the amount of traffic that they're getting out at the farmer's market or the lack thereof, I think what I'm going to do for the foreseeable, probably the rest of the summer, what I'm going to do is not try to grow so much for the Friday markets because the foot traffic is not there. People are not going to come out in that heat. You know, when it's over 100 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning, a lot of people ain't going to come out. And so by noontime, it's 101, 102. If it's really hot, then it can be over 110. They're just not going to come out. You get some people, but you don't get anything like we were getting in the fall and in the winter. So I'm not going to grow as much for those, but the Wednesday markets are inside. And so there was a lot of foot traffic last month. We didn't have a crop last month for the Wednesday market, so the focus will be to grow the plants for the Wednesday market because it's inside and to try to increase our sales at that one substantially and advertise it, you know, through the email list. But that's where we'll be the second Wednesday of the month. We'll be there and see if we can't. It's a different crowd right now. These are all the, everybody knows what a snowbird is, right?
Yeah.
Snowbirds. Snowbirds have gone for the summer and have gone back north. And these are mainly people who live here year round.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when are you going to start the Wednesday market?
We're already doing the Wednesday markets, but it's only one time a month. And that's not enough selling time.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is I have an email list that I send out to, and I let them know where we're going to be at, and I let them know what microgreens I have for sale or not. And so depending upon the way it looks right now, the salad greens don't look like they're going to do well in the summer.
Okay.
I did get a good crop of them last week, but, you know, it's not consistent. And I know that it's the temperature. So I may just on those if they, you know, not in season and don't grow those. And only grow the ones that seem to do well in the heat. Which right now, the only one I'm seeing not, but I'm thinking the cabbage is going to be the same way. The red cabbage won't do well in the heat. So we might, you know, red cabbage and the
salad mix.
Yeah, and the salad mix we'll probably just put on the list as out of season. And not try to grow it or sell it until it cools down some. And then I'll know the same thing for the fenugreek, because a lot of women buy fenugreek to regulate hormones and menstrual cycles and breastfeeding and all this kind of stuff. And so all of them that are doing it naturally, you know, they swear by it. So what I may do is I may bring the fenugreek inside the house in my office, because it's going to be a little bit cooler in here, and then just turn it into a powder.
Okay.
And that would be the best way to sell it. Don't know yet. But I think that if I can't get it to grow in the grow room, then I will germinate it in here, and then once it is up and standing up, then I'll take it back out there to make sure it stays watered. But I don't want to do everything like that. So salad mix, I like it. I like the way it tastes and stuff. But like the radish, I think I'm going to cut down on the amount that I'm growing, because we're not selling as much radish as we used to. So I'm going to cut down on the amount that I'm growing. It grows well. This daikon radish is not as strong as the pink radish, but it still has that radish taste to it, and that, you know, the after little kick to it. So I will give an update next week on how those grows are going. The broccoli is doing well, but the salad mix is not doing that well. And I'll know with the sunflowers, they are actually germinating right now and they're coming out. I just need to make sure and see if I keep them watered properly, if they will grow in the heat, and the sweet peas. Just more attention is what it takes than it was. So,
one more question, Brother Miles.
Uh-huh.
So section 12.0 to 16, are we tabling that whole section?
Just for right now, until I finish giving the update, because I didn't give the update.
Oh, okay.
I didn't give the update. Let's see. Let me see if Ms. Clendon, if she answered my email, she was able to send me that document. Okay, she hasn't replied yet, so maybe she's not back at the office or not home yet. So I'll talk to what I can remember of the meeting, because I didn't take notes because she was doing it on the computer.
Okay.
She was taking the notes, and she had the links and stuff. So let me give an update as far as I can remember. Okay, so she contacted two restaurants for us. Well, a restaurant and a chef. The restaurant is in Tempe, Arizona, T-E-M-P-E, Arizona, and it's a little bit away from us here, not as far as the other store was, but still a little bit of ways away. I gave her the business card. She said she talked to the owner, and they have a supplier, but they're willing to look at another supplier, a secondary supplier.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to give them our card and have them, you know, they're willing to contact us. The chef has been able to get a hold of her the last couple of weeks. And so, again, she's going to give her the card and have her to contact, you know, me and see what we can work out. So both of them I will try to, you know, work in where we're getting some business out of it. I'm not going to, you know, give away the store, just like I wouldn't give it away to the other store up there. But need to start generating more money with this. And especially in the summer when the sales from the farmer's market slows down like it has.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? Okay, so there's that. That's the restaurant, the shelf set. And she said she would...
So that's two restaurants and two shelves, right?
No, one restaurant and one shelf.
Oh, my man.
Okay, so, but she's going to continue to promote it to other restaurants. And that, you know, that's above and beyond what she's actually supposed to do for us. But, you know, she's willing to do it. So I'm not turning it down. Second thing is, she's staying with these grants and with the loans. The grant season is over, and so we're just waiting for whether we got accepted with the grant that we applied for or didn't. They're running behind even on their contracts that they already have in place, where they're renewing them. They're behind on those. People are calling saying, hey, I need my money, yada, yada, yada. You know, they got bills to pay, suppliers to pay, and that kind of stuff, and so they are just behind. She is stating that, you know, the racism is still high in the USDA. And so, you know, we had a good conversation, but what she is wanting to do, there are two other types of grants. There is a irrigation grant, and there's another one by the EPA. And she went to some of these meetings, and she said, you know, there's nobody black at these meetings. They're only white folks. And there's the same white folks been doing it for years. And so they just see that money as theirs. Even if it says underprivileged, you know, they're thinking that they're the ones that's underprivileged. And so they are just, you know, if we are not represented at the meeting, then who is going to speak up for us and say, hey, you know, that money's actually allocated to us. What they have been doing is taking the pot of money and saying, okay, we meet these requirements, and they divvy it up amongst themselves. Okay, so what she's wanting to do, she said she went to a couple of meetings. This is what she saw. She had asked me if I would join a committee and start going to some of these meetings. And because it's two-tiered, the first tier is at these different community local meetings, going to them and saying, hey, number one, there are some black farmers and some, you know, black organizations that have been successful at getting grants or getting loans, and they're willing to share that information, you know, what they did and how they did it. That's one aspect of it. But then the second aspect is to these other organizations that are actually just really just white, Lily White. And, you know, they've been getting the money, and because there are no people of color represented, then they just sort of act like we don't exist. Okay, so she wanted me and her and a couple of other people, she has about 10 people right now, to start going to these meetings so that we can have a face, a presence, and to, you know, say these are the hardships that we're having. We collect names, so we start name dropping. So-and-so. So what she has made note of is that start dropping names then people do start becoming afraid because they don't want to be painted in a negative light. And so, but, you know, we got to go in some strength. You know, you don't want to show up to these meetings and all of a sudden you find yourself shot up somewhere. Because it is that serious. So I told her, you know, I'm willing to go to the meetings to state the case, to, you know, say these are like, okay, we put in an application with the NRCS. And the contact on the, for, you know, on the application, you can't get a hold of them. And so if you got a question, you know, it says call this person, but you can never get a hold of them. That's a problem.
It is a problem.
And so, you know, to bring up these things, the picture I painted for her is, as I applied to a program, to present a program, to present the NRCS to people of color and tell them these programs are available and these funds are available and to teach them how to access them. And I said, how am I going to do that when I can't even access them? I said, that doesn't compute. How am I going to train you to access something I can't access?
Right.
And so she said, I understand. And she said, yeah, it's very real. I said, but, you know, we need to identify it. These are the issues. They are trying to change their ways, but we, you know, this seems to be geared around whatever president is in office. And right now it's Biden, and he's trying to do stuff for the little man, but we can get somebody like Trump, and Trump don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is just the way it is. So while the wind is blowing supposedly favorably, then, yeah, I told her I would sit in, you know, and go to some of these committees and, you know, their irrigation boards, and they have the ability, they have the power to influence the local NRCS and USDA offices and the national offices. They can get money moving. But right now, it's the vast majority of it is white, period. Okay, so I told her that I'd be willing to do that. I just need to know, understand the game, understand what information that, you know, I need to know so that when I'm talking, you know, I'm talking from a position of power and not from a position of ignorance. Because I won't do that. So I'm willing to, you know, read and learn whatever I got to read and learn so that if and when I go to these meetings, I can talk with some confidence and authority about what we are experiencing.
Okay, Brother Miles, you just be careful.
Oh, I will. You know, I'm usually very tactful. You know, I'm not real tactful when it comes to the word of the Most High. It just says what it says. And I don't want to add to or take away from it. So it is what it is. But when it comes to politicking, or what we want to call networking, then I can be very tactful and still very forceful and make my point, and usually I can win people over. I don't say I win everybody over, but I can usually win people over. But I got to know what I'm talking about first. Because when people see that you don't know what you're talking about, they just shut down right there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're talking about. But when I can show, my strength has always been knowing what I'm talking about. And if you ask me a question, give you, you know, for lack of a better word, the gospel on it, and they go and check and find out exactly what I said is what it is. And so that integrity is something that we have to have, and I won't go talk unless I feel like I can talk that way. So I'll read whatever, you know, I need to read and study whatever I need to study, And then, you know, from my own experience, saying, hey, I put in for this. These things didn't happen. I tried to contact this person. I talked to this organization. You know, what she really wants to do is for us to just start getting in front of people. And she says that's what makes things move. And for us, we really need to have that. So I'm willing to do that because we have to secure our own food. They already know by 2050, if Yah has not returned, just about every ethnic group is going to have to be taken care of itself.
Yep.
And so if we are dependent on others, what do you think they're going to do to us? We get the scraps, we get the rotten crops, whatever they don't want. That's what they did to us in slavery. No, we don't eat those guts. Give them to them. That's how we start eating chitlins and hog logs, because they wouldn't eat it. And that's what they left to us. So if it's a normal, everyday food, urban farming and, local farming.
Now.
Huh? Yeah, but that's not, we're not supposed to eat that stuff. Not even call it a delicacy.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, who want to
eat? They do, and they don't even clean them.
Right. Who want to eat doo-doo too? That's what it is. Anyway, they're already predicting that there are going to be food shortages. And if we don't know how to grow our own, if we don't, produce them for ourselves, then we will either be starved out or we will take what's brought. So, I want to approach it from those different things that, we want food security too. And you're helping everybody else, so what is it that we've done to you that you're not helping us? Because they really do have a chip on their shoulder concerning us as a people. We know why. I don't think they know why anymore, though.
Right.
They're just on automatic. But anyway, so that was part of the discussion, going to these, joining these community groups. Partnering up with them, talking, for those that have been successful, how they got their grant, what process they went through. And then for those that, and see, they've been successful at getting loans, which, if that's the way we got to go, that's the way we got to go. But he's in agreement with me. If there's grant money available, we should be able to do this by grant to not, have them to force us into taking a loan, seem to want to do. So, as I said, I made myself available, but it won't just be me. I think it's about 10 of us that she has right now. She's still building, that group. And I'm not doing it necessarily, just for us, but for future as well. But we'll just see what happens out of it. Anyway, so that was part.
You just be careful.
I'll be careful. When I was in the military, especially in Germany, I ran into some real serious systematic racism. Because you were in Germany, you weren't in the States, and it's like, you could go overseas and people could do whatever they wanted to do. And so they were very racist. Those who were racist were very racist because they weren't being checked. And so I've dealt with it before. I know how it feels. I know how to deal with it. It's just a matter of... in this environment, making sure I'm not going anywhere, not in a crowd. Because if you go by yourself, then you don't never know what might happen.
Yeah.
And this racism is just that deep. in this organization.
Yes,
so, but it needs to be addressed. We need to, just state the facts. You're saying you're trying to address this. Here are the facts. You know, we can just pull it right off the web. Here are the facts. As a matter of fact, I put it in our package. So many farmers, the truth of the matter is, they don't give us anywhere near where they give the white farmers. But I think that's only because Biden is in office right now. He's pushing that. He goes out of office, the program goes out of office. That makes sense?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the way it is. So while we can, we want to pursue it and try to get something out of it. And like I said, if we have to go for the loans, then I know I got to do the taxes. But if we want to go for the loan, then here are our taxes for the organization. I have to do that. Let's see. What else? EA, the program the grant that we applied for up under the NRCS?
Mm-hmm.
They have the same types of grants, but they call it economic justice or energy justice or something like that. She's going to send me the link on all this, and I was going to go over it with everybody, but I don't have the links yet. But she wanted me to review it. I told her, I said, I'll try to set aside some time and review it because it's expensive. But she was thinking that we could just modify it because I told you guys I'd already started writing the course and the syllabus for the stuff for the grants we applied for.
Mm-hmm.
And so she felt like it would be easy enough to modify it for these grants with the EPA. So an example would be water justice is that we actually get access to water. Or if it's electricity, we actually get justice would be that we get what access to electricity thing. So we put in for the grant. And so they have their own grants that they do. And so I can write it. After I read over it, then I can say, okay, especially after this year because we've already applied. So if we don't get it, then I can start from there and say, okay, this is what we've already done. And this has been the result. And by rights, we should have gotten funded up under these programs. And so our justice for us is this. So try to get money that way. She was showing me those programs, and I thought I would look into them. It is same way as from the USDA, but it's the EPA rather than the USDA. Still the same site, grants.gov. They all go through that same site. So I thought I would look at it, and, the main thing is going to these meetings. I can understand it, if you're in front of people and they start putting a name to a face or to a voice, it sort of brings you up on the forefront. So there are people who get money, but they are in their face all the time. So more or less like the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And I know how to be a squeaky wheel, and especially these days, electronically. It's a matter of, sending out an email, doing that kind of stuff. So I'm willing to do that and get that involved if it's going to mean that not only us benefit from it, but some other black people benefit from it as well. She, looked at the organization. She looked at YFCC. She looked at the farm. And because of how, we're already buying the land and that kind of stuff, and we are organizing, that, we're like the We're like the poster child. Say we want to teach our people to do these things, but these are the stumbling blocks that we are running into. And so she wanted to use the organization that way. I'm fine with that because, you know, we're saying, hey, you historically don't give us money. You historically don't fund us. You said you wanted to correct that. Yet when I try to access your system, these are the problems that I'm having. And identify it to local and national authorities, you know, with names. And she said, you know, they really become afraid when you do that. So I don't have a problem doing that, you know, saying, okay, we're contacting so-and-so. We're trying to get this done. And so far they've been, you know, whenever I've contacted them for what I've needed, they've been very helpful. It's just that when we're trying to access the money, that's another thing she talks about. So in these grants, they're all subjective. In other words, it's all in the hands of whoever the person is processing it. You're supposed to get an application in and grade it based upon, you know, what it's submitted for and these other factors. But since you've got a person doing the grading, they can use whatever standard they want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they want to use it to discriminate, they can. And they don't have to be fair. Because it's not set up to, you know, set up to be that subjective. So, when I start doing this, and because part of my career in the military and outside of the military, and even for Amazon, was developing systems that control this kind of stuff, then I'm going to recommend that they adopt a system, something like the, when you go apply for credit, you put in an application, you say you got this, you got that, they put in the system and the computer grades you.
Right, okay.
And then they give you a score. And then they go run a credit report. And, you know, based upon what's in your credit report, it may raise your score or it may lower it. If you got a good credit report, then it raises the score. If you got a poor credit report, it lowers the score. Well, when I used to work at the credit realm, I learned how the computer actually does that. And what you do is, as an example, you go in, you fill out a credit application at a store or whatever, and you say, I got everything. I got a Visa, I got a MasterCard, I got a Discovery card, I got everything that they say you can't have. Say you have it, whether you have it or not. What does that do for you?
Raise your score.
It makes it real high, okay? And then they go pull a credit report on you, and the credit report says, let's say you don't have any credit. It comes back and says, you know, no record found, no credit history. It's only going to drop your score so much. So you end up still what? Qualifying.
Hmm.
But it's just knowing how the system works. But it takes, now that's manipulating the system, right?
Yeah.
But that's the way, if you wanted credit, and they were always telling you no, that's what you'd have to go do. I said, go put in there, you got everything. They're going to run a credit report on you. Is what it's going to do is the computer going to grade you. Oh, you got all this? It's going to rate you real high. You come back and say, oh, you ain't got no credit history. It's only going to drop you a little bit.
Hmm.
And you still qualify. So, you know, bankruptcy, you know how they tell you if you got a bankruptcy, you can't get credit for like 7 years?
Right.
That ain't true. It's up to each place whether they want to give you credit or not. So trust me, there, I saw people who, they were doctors or lawyers, and they had a bankruptcy. You know, they still gave them credit because of the potential income that they were going to make. didn't even care about the bankruptcy. So they use that against the masses, and they'll use it, you know. But if you are a certain occupation and you show that you're going to make a certain amount, they don't care about that. So it's just those types of things. But anyway, they need to submit those applications, develop a system that, you know, they feed the application into. It grades the application based upon what was put in there, and it comes out with a score. And it is as subjective as the computer can be. But you can make the computer, what, prejudiced if you want? I mean, if you know what you're doing, you can. But, you know, they can, but if it's ever caught, then people have justification for lawsuits and things like that. But I think it would make it more, it would make it fairer to us, if it was done by that type of system. Because then you take the human element out of it for the most part. You're going to have human element in it, but for the most part, you'll take them out. Okay, let's see. Hold on, let me go back to the mic. All right, I don't know when you got, how long you got disconnected, because I turned off of that page. But did you have any questions, Sharon?
No, I don't have any at this time.
Okay. All right, so that's what we talked about. She's going to send me the links to those. She's going to send me the information on the shelf in the restaurant. I told her I would wait for them to contact me. I wouldn't contact them. But I'll see what type of restaurants they are, and then all their competitors, people who have restaurants like that, then I'll contact them and try to send them our information. I'll just use them as, you know, a possible income stream, these types of restaurants. Send out card to or contact over the phone. You know, we sell microgreens. We're looking to become a supplier for restaurants and chefs. Not looking to get in stores yet, really, especially not any national chains. I do know that the government has money, but you got to have the capacity to grow for a certain region. We're not big like that, but if I can demonstrate that we can handle a certain volume, that I can say we can always ramp up and increase production, and maybe we can supply to bases in the Southwest or in Arizona and Nevada, Texas, that type of area. Talking about those types of things, where she's excited about this and I'm excited about it is, you know, the possibilities are there, but we have to get involved. So when I say we, then it's going to be me at this point. When she's going to send me whenever these meetings are. And then, you know, I told her if she has community meetings, just don't have them on. She's a practicing Muslim. I said, but don't have them on Sabbath, Friday night. I said, Friday during the day is fine with me, but Friday night, Saturday, no go. I said, you already know that. But if it's a Thursday during the day or Friday during the day or, you know, Wednesday like that, as long as there's not a market going on, then I'm willing to do it. So that was the gist of that meeting, and she's, like I said, she's sending me the link for the other two, and, you know, see if we can apply for it. And she's willing to go to bat for it. You know, however we can, it has to be, some things can be up front, some things she's going beyond, above and beyond. And we can't say she's doing it. Okay?
Yes.
because she's trying to help, you know, because we're black, she's black, and she sees that the coalitions that are in there, that, you know, and the USDA understands it too, that they need more people of color, because if the people of color have to count on white folks, and we don't have representatives, we just get left out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's willing, as she says, she's willing to, she wants to get us money, she wants to help to get us money, and so, you know, I said, hey, however I can help, just let me know. So that's where we're at with that, and that's what happened during that meeting. I think that's everything that we covered, as far as I can remember. So when I get her notes, then I'll know. If I left out something, then I'll bring it up next week. Any questions?
I don't have any.
Or statements besides be careful.
No, that's the only one I got for you.
Amen. All right, if y'all hear I disappeared, call 911. Call FBI. Yes. Call
yes.
everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I understand the she and I talked about it, and I understand the risk, you know, because, you know, she was straight up, she's black, and she's like, she went by herself, she said, but she didn't want to do that no more. You work for him, and you don't want to do that no more. So she wants to go, you know, in a group, in mass, and that we show up to these meetings and, you know, get our face known, get our names known, and because that's really who they are actually funding. So, you know, say, you know, I've never been one to say that I got my hand out and I'm looking for a handout, but I don't want to do the work. You know, I'll do the work. I'll do whatever's necessary. Just do it in a tactful way. And but I need to know how to talk the talk and walk the walk. And I need to see just what that is. So I'm sure the first meetings I go to, I won't be saying nothing. I'll be sitting there just listening. What did they cover? You know, what was the format? What was the nomenclature they were using? Those types of things, so that I can adjust my vocabulary and everything else to them where they're at. Okay. So, yes, yeah, Sister Mary, I think we're going to table the rest of 12.12 whatever until next week.
Okay.
We'll pick it up, or maybe we might meet sometime during the week and pick it up, you know. But I think, let me see how many sections we got left. 12, and what's left? Oh, we got a lot of document left here. We're in 12, and we need to go through 42. That's a lot of documents.
Yeah.
So we'll pick up the pace, but we need this to be, as this is our working document, we need to make it as right as possible the first time, but we can always change policy.
Yeah.
But whatever we have written, what we don't want to do is have one thing written and be doing something else. That's what gets people thrown in jail.
Right.
So whatever we have written, that's exactly what we have to be doing.
Okay.
That's why I'm, you know, being a stickler about it right now. And then, you know, if it's an honest mistake or whatever, then, you know, the law understands that as well. As long as we are able to correct it,
right?
And you know, we're not, you know, well, no, we're not correcting that. No, if it's that bad, then we have to correct it. But if we do it right, in as much as possible the first time through, then it's just less that we have to worry about. Like, that's what I've noticed about most organizations, especially with our people. How those brothers get in trouble is they have one thing written, but that's not what they're doing. They're not following their own mandate. And that's a problem. Okay, so, but as I said, this is policy, and I think some of the stuff that we're covering right now with the children and that kind of stuff, time, and then when we get into the more administrative stuff, then we can speed it up.
Okay.
The administrative things don't really, even though they do affect things, they don't affect it as much as when you're dealing with people, and especially young people. Anyway, I make a motion that we table Section 12, what we have not covered until next week. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 12 is tabled until next week. We will pick it back up on next week. Hopefully, I will have the document from Ms. McClendon, Kayla, and be able to we go in on the internet to those links and look over the stuff like we did before. I still have, you know, all the course outlines and the syllabus and stuff that I already created for NRCS stuff. And maybe I will repurpose a night during the week. Right now we're not doing newcomers. We're not doing newcomers on Tuesdays. I need to write a test for that. For y'all, see what y'all learned out of that. So I'll give you the script. I'll give you the question and the scriptures and let you do it like a take-home test.
Okay.
Where you can look up and say, okay, this is what the scripture's saying to me.
Right.
On that, or maybe multiple choice. I like to call it multiple guess. I'd already started creating them. We had to put them in a certain format to load them to the web. Just hadn't taken the time to do that, but I think I will. At least a small test, and that'll get you guys used to seeing them and doing them. And then next time around, I think I will have it in more of a structured format. Yeah, we do the lesson, you take the test. That way it's fresh in your mind. Okay. One more thing. Let me share my screen. It is 6:56. Okay. Let me know when you can see my screen.
I see it.
Okay. This should be recommended green. Green for symptoms. I need to actually change that to say green. So, as you can see in here, you can go to the website on this page, and I'm going to send this out as with an update to the community and then with an update to the email list that I have. It tells them what the farmer's market that we're at, So this will be part of our news. I actually like this, but I did it. So, of course, I'm going to like it. Well, I should. But, like, I started typing, like, diabetes in here. And if you can look at the screen, I'm going to clear the filters in the screen to see if this is updating. Start it over. Put my zip in here. All right, so in this benefit, all you got to do is really start typing. So if I put like diabetes, D-I-A, it should automatically just filter. So automatically, I didn't even finish typing it, what, filter for those three greens?
Uh-huh.
And then what you do is you would click on that row, and it would bring up more detailed information. I think a lot of this, what I'm going to do, because I think it's still, and it's not formatting it the way that I wanted it to.
Uh-huh.
I will probably cut down on the amount of information in here so that you get, I think what I want to put in here is the bare minimum, the gist, and I'll put a link to another web page if you want all this information you can go to and read it. But right here, if you were looking for something just to find out what microgreen would address diabetes or decrease the risk, or whatever the case may be, you type that in, and then it will give you, this is a microgreen, or microgreens that do it, and I want to give a, I think everything I've read said that like 3/4 of an ounce of any microgreen a day, whatever you're trying to address, that would address it. You don't need a whole lot every day, but you do need to do it every day to get better. So I think I'm going to put, you know, I might make this narrative way shorter, and then I'll put another one, you know, daily, recommended daily allowance, and I will bring that up for each one. That way, you know, people can see, hey, I got diabetes, and I can do broccoli, and all I need is 3/4 of an ounce every day. Or if I'm fighting diarrhea, type that in and it say, oh, you can use this microgreen for that. My wife is supposed to start getting into herbs and tinctures and things like that. And so once she has that down pat, then, you know, we'll include those on here. So this is... I actually like this because a lot of people come to me and ask me, you know, what I take for what.
Right.
And this, I can say, hey, just go to the website and type in. Just let me try something here. I don't even know if this is in here or not. Anything on, nothing on dry skin. Yeah.
What about alopecia?
How you spell it?
I don't know how to spell it, but it's when you lose hair,
baldness of the scalp. There's really nothing you can do about that because when that happens, it's that the follicles of your hair, the root things that hold your hair, they fall.
Mm-hmm. Is that hereditary?
I think it is. But mustard greens stimulate hair growth, but I know fenugreek does as well.
But if that hair follicle is gone, Brother Miles, it's not going to work.
Let's do some a quick investigation. Not that I don't believe you, but I want to just see what they say. I don't even know how to spell that. So that's the absence, the partial or complete absence of hair.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Baldness. broccoli. I don't know if it'll bring it back. Probably, like Sister Mary says, once the hair follicle's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. And I don't know what causes that. Like you said, it might be hereditary or whatever. But once that happens, it's like my niece. She gets these braids in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't have them in so long till her hair follicles are not there on the sides of her hair. And it's just bald. Nothing won't grow there. It's damaged. It's bald. Tell you, like maybe because they want to make the money, oh yeah, you can do this, woo woo woo. Trust me, it's not coming back.
They're saying that the hair can regrow.
Okay.
I'll share my screen.
I believe.
No, I'm just, they're saying that it can regrow. Now, whether it does or not, that's something completely different.
Did they say how?
They're saying that all alopecia is not the same. So I'll share my screen. Let me stop.
No, because some of them come in spots and they call that alopecia. Aerator. That means it's baldness in spots.
Right. Just depends upon what kind you got. They said not cured, but it can be treated and the hair will grow back fast. But I think my sister has this as well. One of my sisters. Where y'all at? All right, I'm going to share my screen. Let me know when you can see it.
I see it. I got it.
Can't be cured. Oh, what medication is it?
Full article on it. All right, you're here. Don't be doing that. Do it. Sister Denise.
No.
Okay. Hair loss can be stressful and alienating. Knowing the different types of causes of hair loss can help to clarify unknown and make stressful situations a little more manageable. What is alopecia? It's a general term for hair loss and represents many different types of hair loss conditions. Generally, we categorize alopecia as non-scarring, which may be reversible, temporary, and scarring, which is irreversible. Although the cause can be addressed to stop further hair loss. How common is alopecia? It's more common than you might expect. Pattern hair loss, which affects both men and women, occurs in about 50% of men and 40% of women by age 50. What are the symptoms? Most notable symptoms of alopecia is hair loss that comes in multiple forms, such as increased hair shedding, more hair is in the drain or comb, thinning of hair, hair not growing in bald patches. Other symptoms include scalp bumps or scalp rashes, itching, burning, or pain. What causes alopecia? There's a vast variety of causes for alopecia. Pattern hair loss is influenced by genetic and hormones. Alopecia areata, I think that's one you just mentioned, Sister Mary, is an autoimmune condition, intelligent effluvium, caused by severe stress, emotional, medical problems with surgery, pregnancy, etc., and occasionally medication. Traction, alopecia, and central fugal psychiatrica. Cal alopecia are caused, at least in part, by styling practices. There are also several other types of alopecia with distinct causes. can alopecia be cured? What treatment options are available? Some types of alopecia can't be cured. However, most kinds can be controlled with medical treatments to prevent worsening, and sometimes hair can be regrown. Treatment success also varies vastly depending upon the cause. Telogen effluvium, which is diffuse hair shedding due to a stressor, usually recovers spontaneously over 6 to 12 months, even without treatment. Over-the-counter typical or topical medications like minoxidil are an option for clearing for clear-cut male pattern hair loss, as well as other types of alopecia, but are best used after a diagnosis is confirmed by your dermatologist. Depending upon the cause and type of hair loss, your dermatologist could prescribe topical or oral anti-inflammatory medication. So just on that right there, saying that it's caused by inflammation, some of it, to block hormones from causing hair thinning and pattern hair loss, steroid injections, platelet-rich plasma injections to stimulate hair growth, laser treatments, or hair transplants. When should you see a dermatologist? See a dermatologist if you notice significant hair thinning, bald patches, rashes, or scalp symptoms, pain, itching, burning. Dermatologists can help with a diagnosis, prognosis, and treatment plan. Okay, so I guess it depends upon what kind you have. Some can be treated, some can't. Have you gone to a dermatologist, Sister Denise?
No.
Okay, so that's probably what you want to do to see what type you have. Did you use a lot of chemicals in your hair?
When I was younger, yes.
That can cause it as well. And Sister Mary, I think she was talking about like her niece putting a lot of braids in or something like that, and stressing, you know, pulling it tight.
Right.
Could cause that as well. But it seems like some of it can be caused by inflammation. Maybe the bump or the hormones. I know that I know broccoli, but I know also fenugreek is supposed to help with stuff like that, especially if it's hormonal. But if it's chemically induced, if you damage your scalp, I don't know. I think you'd have to actually have somebody look at it.
Right.
And say, hey, nope, you burn it up, or no, it's not as bad as you think. All depends on, I guess, how serious it is.
It ain't that serious. I'm just wondering. Because
yeah.
It is what it is. If it grow back, it grow back. And if it don't, it don't. I ain't finna worry about it.
Well, we had a guy that I used to work with in the military. He had the male pattern baldness. He was going bald in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and got that. What was that product they had on the market where for men? I can't remember which one it was.
Rogaine or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was something like that. We told him, yeah, you're going to grow hair in the palms of your hand. That's the only place you're going to be growing hair at. He put it in the palm of his hands and tried to put it on his head. Some people do get some of their hair back. I've seen that.
Well, mine's not gone. It's just real thin.
Thin? But that means
it's
that some of the hair follicles are gone?
Right.
You might be able to stimulate it back. I don't know. My wife is built with stuff like that. You heard of anything that works, Sharon? Still there? She might be with her grandmother. All right. So we're going to stop right here. We're going to take Sister Mary's advice. It ain't going to grow back. And
okay. I can live with that.
Yeah, just you know, if you can do it by diet, then it ain't going to hurt.
Right.
Because you'll be eating healthy anyway.
Right.
And if some come back, then it's a plus. If it don't, then you're no worse off.
Right.
Okay. So, with that being said, let's bow our heads. We already made the motion to adjourn this meeting, didn't we?
No.
Nope. Okay. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Let us go before the Most High and let's see. Sister Mary, if you will pray us out this meeting.
Dear precious Father Yah, thank you for allowing us to have another great meeting. And please, Father, if it be your will, allow these white people to give us this strength because we need it and you know we need it. Take care of everybody. We're going to pray for Sister Hazel. What's her name, Hazel?
Sister Hazel.
That whatever your will is, Father, let it be. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we will meet again on next Thursday. And hopefully I'll have the updated information. I may get it earlier, but we'll definitely go over it on next Thursday and keep it moving in the policy. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Remember, saints, fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Amen.
Shalom and have a blessed rest of your day.
Shalom.
Whatever's left of it. And for some of y'all, it's almost midnight.
No. Late.
Ain't that late? If y'all don't need toast, it's too late. All right. All right. Peace and blessings.
All right.
And let me roll the credits.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwells. need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his word, are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his word, are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your evening. See you guys tomorrow.
Okay.